start from the second mission on the bottom of Mem Hamad Aleph. We're actually going to go all the way to Mem Vav Amud Beis today, so we'll have a short daf tomorrow. Okay, so the Mishnah says, Mi sheyashin baderech velo yada shechashicha, yesh lo alpayim amalucho ruach divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, v'chachamim omrim, ein lo ela arba amos, Rabbi Eliezer omer, v'hu be'emtzan. The Mishnah presents a machlokes that touches on something that we mentioned briefly yesterday, which is, let's say a person fell asleep on the road before Shabbos started, and they didn't realize that they were within the Tchum Shabbos. So we already pointed this out yesterday, that's Machlokas in this Mishnah, regarding whether you can acquire a Makom Shvisa. Can we really say that you have acquired a place within the Tchum if you're not even aware that you're there? So according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, he says it doesn't matter if you are aware of where you are, as long as you're physically within the confines of the city, that's good enough, and you're allowed to walk 2,000 amos in any direction. But the Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say that you need to be cognizant of the fact that you're within the boundaries of the city, and if you're not, you're going to be restricted to only walking 4 amos. And Rabbi Eliezer is even more restrictive. We actually quoted his opinion yesterday. Rabbi Eliezer says that not only can you only walk 4 amos, but you can only walk 2 amos in each direction. We pointed this out a few days ago, that Rabbi Eliezer has a shita that if you walk less than 2 amos out of the Tchum, you're allowed to re-enter. So Rabbi Eliezer says that you're only allowed to walk 2 amos in each direction. Then the Mishnah says, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Le'ezer ruach sheyirtza yelech, umode Rabbi Yehuda she'embirer lo she'enu yachol lachzerbo. The Mishnah adds that according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda also says, also agrees with the Chachamim that you're limited to 4 amos. The only thing is that Rabbi Yehuda says you can walk 4 amos in any direction. However, once you've decided which direction to walk the 4 amos in, you cannot retract and change your mind. Then the Mishnah says, "Ha yushnayim miktsas amosav shalzeh besoch amosav shalzeh, mevien v'ochlin ba'emtza, uvilvad shelo yotzi zeh mitoch shelo lesoch shel chaveiro." Let's say you have two people whose 4 amos are overlapping with one another. So the Mishnah says that what they can do is they can meet up in the middle in a point of their 4 amos that overlap, and they can eat at a point where they're both allowed to walk. The only thing is that they're not allowed to cross into each other's 4 amos. So in other words, if there's an area that only one of them is allowed to walk and the other one is not, the other person is not permitted to cross into that area. Then the Mishnah says, "Hayu shlosha v'ha emtzaim muvla b'nehen, hu mutter imahen v'hein mutarin imo, u'shnayim hachitzonim asurin zemzeh." Then the Mishnah tells us that let's say you have 3 people. So imagine you have 2 people on the far ends and 1 person in the middle. So the 1 person in the middle overlaps with the 2 people on the far ends, and the 2 people on the far ends, each of them individually overlap with the 4 amos of the guy in the middle, but the 2 people on the far ends do not overlap with each other. So the Mishnah says that basically the middle person is allowed to walk into anyone, and the people on the far end can walk into the middle person's 4 amos, but the people on the far ends cannot walk into each other's 4 amos because they're not within the striking distance of where each of them individually are allowed to walk. And the Mishnah illustrates this with a mashal. Amar Reb Shimon, Lema Davar Dome, L'Shalosh Chatziros Apsuchos Zolazo, Upsuchos L'Rishos Harabim, Ervu Shtayim Imhaim Tzayis, Hi Muteres Imahen, Veheim Mutaros Imah, Ushtayim Hachitzonos Asuros Zoimzo. So imagine you have 3 Chatziros, you have 3 courtyards that are all connected, and they also open up into a Rishos Harabim, all 3 of them. So the Mishnah basically says the same concept, that the middle Chatzir is the one that kind of overlaps with all of them. It overlaps with the 2 outer ones. So someone from the middle chatzer is permitted to go back and forth between all 3 chatzeros, whereas the people in the outer chatzeros, they're allowed to go to the middle chatzer, but they can't go to the chatzer on the other extreme, on the other side. So it's basically the same idea. That's what the Mishnah is emphasizing. So says the Gemara, Bai Rava, Mai Kasava Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. What exactly was the logic behind Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Now, remember, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was the one who said that even though I'm unaware of the fact that I'm within the confines, within the tchum of the city, I'm still allowed to walk 2,000 amos because at the end of the day, I was within the confines of the city. So says the Gemara, do we say Misvar Kasavar Chavtzei Hefker Konen Shvisa Uvedin Hu Deliflog Bechelim V'had Dekam Miflagei Ba'adam Lohu Diachal Kochan Dirabanan Da'afal Gav Di'ika Lameymar Hoa V'neir Kana Yashanami Kana Kamash Malan Dilo O Dilma Kasavar Rabbi Yochanan Benuri Ba'alma Chavtzei Hefker Ein Konen Shvisa V'hacha Hainu Taima Hoa V'neir Kana Yashanami Kana. The Gemara presents 2 possibilities as to how to understand Rabbi Yochanan Benuri. The first option is to suggest that Rabbi Yochanan Benuri holds what's called called Chevtze Hefker Konin Shvisa. The Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri is of the opinion that if I have an item which is ownerless and nobody owns, that item can in fact acquire a Makom Shvisa. That item can in fact be in an area when Shabbos begins, which basically means that I'm allowed to carry that item 2,000 amos. Now, if that's true, so then the Mishnah would, it would have made more sense for the Mishnah to present a Machlokas regarding carrying Kalim, or you know, in other words, regarding Kalim. Why does the Mishnah present the Machlokas regarding people? So the Gemara says that really the Mishnah could have presented a machlokas regarding Kalim. The only reason why it presented it regarding people was to emphasize how machmir the Rabbanan are. What does that mean? Because one might have argued that if a person is awake when Shabbos begins, everyone agrees that they acquire a makom shvisa. We actually mentioned this a little bit earlier in the Masechta. We said that if a person is awake, so everyone agrees that they acquire a makom shvisa. So I might have thought, well, if a person who's awake acquires a makom shvisa, so then presumably one who is asleep should also acquire a makom shvisa. So the Rabbanan teach you that it's not true. The Rabbanan say that a person who's asleep does not acquire a makom shvisa. That's one option. One option is to say that fundamentally Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri says that items do acquire a makom shvisa even if nobody owns them. The only reason why the Mishnah formulated this machlokas as referring to people was to emphasize how machmir the Rabbanan are. That's one option. The other option is to say, no, that perhaps Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri actually says that items that are ownerless do not acquire a makom shvisa, and that really you should not be allowed to carry them more than 4 amos. And again, the reason, and perhaps Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri himself holds that only a person who's awake would be allowed to theoretically acquire a makom shvisa, but in other words, but since we say a person who's awake acquires a makom shvisa, so too a person who's asleep kind of gets dragged along. So in other words, the first option is to basically say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri and the Rabbanan are having a fundamental machlokas about whether either something or someone that's unaware that they're in a, that they're within the confines of the tchum. So according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, that doesn't matter. According to the Rabbanan, it does. That's the first option. The second option is that no, that even according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, that matters, and the only reason why a person who's asleep would acquire a makom shvisa, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri, is really just for a technicality, because since a person who's awake acquires it, so too a person who's asleep. So the Gemara wants to know.
Explain Kalim, or an object, the concept of Makom Shvisa.
Yeah, so okay, we're gonna talk a lot more about this as we go on in the daf, but basically the basic point is that every person and every item has a Makom Shvisa when Shabbos begins, right? So we know that if I find myself in a certain location when Shabbos starts, so if I set up an Erev Tchumen, I'm allowed to walk 2,000 Amos beyond wherever I am. If I didn't, then I'm stuck within my 4 Amos. So as we'll see as we go on this daf, Kalim operate under basically the same concept. So again, we'll have to iron out some of these details and figure out, you know, do I own the kli? Do I not own the kli? Did I acquire the kli on Shabbos? Well, we'll have to see as we go along. But basically, the bottom line, the question that we're trying to figure out here is, does Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri basically disagree with the Chachamim and say that ownerless items do acquire a makom shvisa? They do have their own location, and therefore I can carry them wherever I want. And the only reason why he disagrees regarding people is to emphasize how machmir the Rabbanan are, that if a person is asleep, he does not acquire a makom shvisa. Or the other option is to suggest that no, that really Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri agrees with the Rabbanan that items that are ownerless do not acquire a makom shvisa, and the only reason why a person who's asleep does get a makom shvisa is almost for a technicality, because since a guy who's awake gets it, so a guy who's asleep also gets it. So that's the issue that we're trying to figure out now. Okay, Billy, do you have a question? No? Okay. Okay, fine. So the Gemara now continues. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yosef Tashma, Geshamim Sheyerdu Me'erev Yontif, Yesh Len Alpayim Amalucho Ruach, Biyontif Harehin Kiragle Kolam. So comes the Gemara and presents the following distinction. Let's say that it rained on Erev Yontif. So if it rained on Erev Yontif, and now let's say I want to carry the rainwater, or I want to walk with the rainwater on Yontif itself. So the Gemara says, if the rain came on Erev Yontif, I'm allowed to carry that rainwater 2,000 almost in any direction, because presumably the rainwater acquired a makom shvisa before Yontif began. But if it rained on Yontif itself, so then the Gemara says that harehin kiragle kol adam. That means that the rain, the amount of mobility that rainwater has, in other words, how far I'm allowed to carry it, is going to be limited to however far I'm allowed to walk. So if I'm allowed to walk X number of amos, that's the same number of amos that the rainwater will be allowed to be carried. So the Gemara explains, Iyamar pishlama kasava Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri chatzei hefker konin shvisa hamani Rabbi Yochanan hi. Ela Iyamar So the Gemara says like this. I understand if you're going to tell me that this statement of the Gemara follows Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. So in other words, I'm sorry. If you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that Chefze Hefker Konin Shvisa, that ownerless items do acquire a Makom Shvisa, so then I understand this distinction. In other words, if it rains on Erev Yontif, that rainwater acquired a Makom Shvisa before Yontif began, and therefore I'm allowed to carry it up to 2,000 amos on Yontif. That makes a lot of sense. But if you're going to tell me that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri denies this idea, he says that ownerless items like rainwater do not acquire a makom shvisa. So then, who is the author of this statement? Who, in other words, how could anyone suggest that I'm allowed to carry the rainwater 2,000 amos? So says the Gemara, Yosef Abaye v'ka'amr la lahashmaita, amr le Rav Safra li Abaye v'dilma b'gishamim hasmuchin le'iraskinan v'yanche osa irdaita mailaihu. So the Gemara says, perhaps we're talking about rain, where, in other words, let's say it rained right next to the city, and the people of that city had in mind when Yontif, you know, before Yontif began, to carry and to walk with that rain. So the Gemara says, no, amr le lo salka daitach disnan, bor shal yachid kiragli yachid, v'shal osa ha'ir kiragli osa ha'ir, v'shal ole bavel kiragli ha'memale, v'sanya bor shal shvatim yishlan apayim amalecho ruach, kashyana hadade, el alav shmamina harab yochana menuri harabanan. The Gemara presents what appears to be a contradiction between our Gemara and a Mishnah at the end of Maseches Beitza. The Mishnah Maseches Beitza delineates certain scenarios in which the water that you drew out of a well are allowed to be carried to various distances. So, for example, let's say I have a private cistern in my backyard. So the Mishnah in Beitza says that the amount of space that you can carry that water is going to be limited to your own personal tchum. So however far you're allowed to walk on Yontif, that's how far you're allowed to carry that water. Let's say the water is coming from a publicly owned cistern, so then it's going to be limited to, then it's going to be a little bit more expansive. Then you can carry the water however far the people of the city are allowed to walk, which is 2,000 amos beyond the confines of the city. What if it's water that was drawn by the Ole Bavel, the people from Bavel who were doing Aliyah LaRegel? So then the Gemara says that's going to depend on each individual. So if I'm doing Aliyah LaRegel and on the way I draw water from a well, so that however far I'm allowed to walk, that's how far I'm allowed to take the water. And then finally the Bryce says, what if I have a cistern or a well that was owned by an entire shevet? So then the Gemara says, then you could carry a 2,000 amos in every direction. So the Gemara says, this Mishnah Maseches Beitza seems to contradict everything we just said. Because again, if you're going to tell me that we deny this principle of Chefze Hefker Konin Shvisa, you're going to tell me that ownerless items do not acquire a Makom Shvisa, then nobody really owns them. So then the halacha should just be that the water should not be allowed to be carried at all, right? It should just be limited, right? In other words, to the four amos. The fact that the Mishnah in Beitza says that I'm allowed to carry it different distances depending on if it's a private cistern, a public cistern, if I'm doing a Aliyah LaRegel, if it belongs to a shevet, right? So the fact that we even introduced those options, so the Gemara says, presumably that would have to reflect the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and that would also presuppose that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds like the first option in the Gemara, that ownerless items do in fact acquire a Makom Shvisa. Because if they didn't, then this whole Mishnah would make no sense. How would I be allowed to carry the water to any distance beyond four amos if I deny this principle? So the Gemara says, presumably this is the answer.
Rabbi, but the first instance where the guy has his own private cistern, mm-hmm. Why would that be considered an ownerless object?
No, you're right. The case of the private cistern is not the issue. The issue is all the other cases, or the case of the shevet or the ole bavel. You're right. The case of the private cistern is not really the issue. Yeah. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Ki asa lekame de Rav Yosef amar lehachi ka amar Rav Safra v'hachi ahadri le amar le v'yamaylo seima le migufa. So apparently Rav Safra, when he encountered Rav Yosef, he presented the question in a much more direct way. He said, why didn't you just ask directly from the Braisa? Namely, Isal kadaitach gish Shamim asmuchim le'iraskinan ha yeshlan apayim amalecha ruach ha kiragli anchi oso yirmi boyale. The Gemara says that if you're going to tell me that the case with which we're dealing, as we mentioned earlier, is a case of the rainwater that fell right next to the city, and that maybe the people of the city had in mind to use that rainwater on Yontif, so the Gemara says then the wording of our Gemara and the Mishnah is a little bit misleading. Because what did our Gemara say? It said, Yesh lahan apayim ama lecho ruach. It says that if the rain fell next to the city and the people of the city were planning to use the water on Yontif, that we said that you can carry that water 2,000 amos, but the Gemara says, but that's not really accurate, because if based on what we just said from the Mishnah in Beitza, what the Gemara really should have said was, ha kiragli anche osa ha'ir. It's not that there's an objective halacha that I'm allowed to carry this water 2,000 amos beyond the confines of the city if it fell next to a city and people were planning to use it. The water, the rainwater, should be limited to whatever the people of that particular city are allowed to walk. In other words, 2,000 amos in this case is just an arbitrary number, because usually we assume, okay, I'm allowed to walk 2,000 amos beyond the tchum if I set up an eruv of tchum. But the truth is that if the rainwater fell next to a city, so then the amount of space that I'm allowed to carry the rainwater should be limited to however far the people of that city are allowed to walk. So the fact that the Gemara didn't say that, the Gemara points out, it's a little bit misleading. Okay. Then the Gemara says,
all this water is within the tchum of the
Is within the tchum of what?
Of the city.
Presumably it's within the tchum of the city, but the question becomes how far...
No, if it's not within the tchum, you don't have more than 4 amos, do you?
No, correct. You know, you're right. But the question is, again, but even if it's within the tchum of the city, the question, in other words, it may still be limited to 4 amos, depending on what you think about this issue of chefse hefker kodesh shvisa, depending on whether you think ownerless items acquire a makom shvisa or not. That's part of the issue in the Gemara.
But wait a second. What do you mean hefker? Once somebody gets this water, it's no longer.
But again, remember, if the rainwater, again, in the cases we gave earlier, remember, if it rained on Yontif itself, right? So nobody owned that rainwater beforehand, right? So there's no way that it could have acquired a makom shvisa. If I have a publicly owned cistern, so if the water was only drawn on Yontif, so that means nobody owned it before Yontif. There's no way it could have acquired a makom shvisa, right? That's the point. The point is that the makom shvisa has to happen before Shabbos or Yontif. So if that didn't happen, so then that's part of the issue. That's what we're trying to say, that maybe that you should be limited to only 4 amos of mobility if in fact no one acquired it beforehand. That's part of the machlokes within the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. Okay. So the Gemara now says, Amar Mar. Biyontov harehin kirag lekolada ve'amai likne shvisa be'okyanus. The Gemara says, well, hang on 1 second. We just said that if the rain fell on Yontif itself, then everybody agrees that the rainwater is going to be limited in terms of how far you can walk with it to however far you're allowed to walk, right? That's what we said. If it rains on Yontif itself. But the question is, why should that be so? Why don't we say that the rainwater acquires a makom shvisa in the ocean? Now, again, this Gemara is clearly assuming that the way that the whole precipitation process works is that the rainwater comes from the ocean and goes back to the clouds. So there's a gemara like this in Maseches Tainis that talks about the whole precipitation process. But essentially, the Gemara is assuming that this rainwater starts out in the ocean. If that's true, so then the ocean should act as a makom shvisa. Why is that not the case? Why, in other words, even if it rains on Yontif itself, I should be allowed to carry the rainwater 2,000 amos. So says the Gemara, Lema deloka Rabbi Eliezer, deika Rabbi Eliezer ha'amar kol ha'olam kulo mimei okeanos u'shosa. This Gemara, the fact that the Gemara doesn't say this would seem to go against Rebbe Eliezer, because Rebbe Eliezer holds that the entire world, this is again the Gemara Maseches Tainis, that the entire world gets sustained from the waters of the ocean. So that means that according to Rebbe Eliezer, presumably, water in the ocean should acquire a makom shvisa, and you should be allowed to carry it even if it rained on Yontif. So says the Gemara, no, it's not true. Amar Rav Yitzchak, hacha ba'avim sheneskashu me'erev Yontif askina. So Rav Yitzchak says, the case with which we're dealing is where the rain clouds started to form on Erev Yontif. If the rain clouds were already there when Yontif began, so then you could argue that the water was no longer in the ocean. The water that was going to eventually come and rain down on the earth was already in the clouds. So there you could argue that there is no makom shvisa in the ocean. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? V'dilma hanacha azliv hanacha harineinenu. So how do you know that the rain clouds that you saw 2 hours ago before Yontif, that these are the same rain clouds? Maybe they're different. The Gemara says, no, te'islu simana begadaya. There's some kind of indication the clouds look a certain shape or whatever it is, where you know for a fact that these are the same clouds that were there 2 hours ago. The Ibayasema have a suffix de Devrayim, the suffix de Devrayim Lahakel, or the Gemara suggests another option, which is that the whole Isser, the whole din of Tchumen, as we know, as we pointed out many times in this Masechta, is only a din de Rabbanan, the way that we paskin at least, and because it's only a din de Rabbanan, and whenever you have a suffix by a din de Rabbanan, so we know suffix de Rabbanan Lakula, so therefore we're going to be Mekel, we're going to say that even though, yes, there's the possibility that maybe the rainwater. That maybe the rainwater was in the clouds, but you know, perhaps we should be mekel and suggest that maybe it's still in the ocean, and therefore the rainwater should acquire a makom shvisa. So the Gemara says, okay, velikne shvisa ba'oven. Fine, let's say the rainwater is in the clouds. Why can't the rainwater acquire a makom shvisa in the clouds, right? Why is that not a valid makom shvisa? And I should be allowed to carry the rainwater even if it rains on Yontif. So the Gemara says, tivsho mina de ain tchumen l'malam miyud de iish tchumen likne shvisa ba'oven. This goes back to a topic we spent a lot of time on earlier in the week. regarding whether there's a concept of Tchumen when you're above 10 Tfachim. This was the whole Gemara we had earlier, remember, with Elio, Anavi, and Mashiach, that whole wacky Gemara we had earlier about whether there's Tchumen above 10 Tfachim. The Gemara says, this Gemara, the fact that the Gemara is not suggesting that when the rainwater is in the clouds, that that's considered a Makos Shisa, would lead us to believe that there is no such thing as Tchumen when you're above 10 Tfachim. Because if there was, then you should acquire a Makos Shisa when the rainwater is in the clouds. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a good proof either. So the Gemara says, no, maybe one could argue that there is Tchumen when you're above 10 Tfachim. So if that's the case, then how come the rainwater does not acquire a Makom Shvisa in the clouds? Maybe one could argue that the rainwater in the clouds is somehow swallowed up, meaning it's the rainwater in the clouds, it's not really considered to be there until it actually comes down and rains. So even though, yes, the rainwater is going to eventually come down, but until it actually starts raining, one could argue that it's not really physically there, so there is no Makom Shvisa to be acquired. So then the Gemara says, but hang on a second. Kol Shekein Dehavel Hu Nola De'Asire. The Gemara says, if that's true, that the rainwater is not really there, it doesn't really exist until it actually comes and rains down on the earth, so then that's a further issue. That's a problem of Nolad, right? That's a problem because the rainwater didn't exist. So if the rainwater came into existence on Yontif, that's a serious problem of Nolad. That's a Muktzah issue, which means that I shouldn't be allowed to carry this rainwater at all. Forget about the Tchum problem. It's Muktzah, right? I shouldn't be allowed to even move this rainwater. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elamaya be'avim mina naide. The Gemara says that the water in the clouds is constantly on the move. It's always moving around. So the Gemara says, Hashta de asis lahachi, okeanus nami lo likshulacha, maya be okeanus nami mina naide, visanya, naharos amoshchen, umayanos anovin, harehin karagli kol adam, says the Gemara. The Gemara says that really the halacha is that these types of waters that are always moving, whether it's spring water or ocean water or river water that's always on the move, so those types of things, the Gemara says that if you think about it, they shouldn't really acquire a Makom Shvisa, because the whole idea of a Makom Shvisa is that you're planting yourself somewhere. If the water is constantly moving, then it doesn't really make any sense that it could acquire a Makom Shvisa. So the Gemara says these types of waters that are always flowing, they are Kiragle Koladam. They're going to be limited to however far you are allowed to walk. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Amar Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi, Halacha Ki Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri. Comes the Gemara and paskins explicitly like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri. Meaning, again, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri was the one who told us back in the Mishnah that if the guy was sleeping on the road and he had no idea that he was within the boundaries of the city, it doesn't matter. He could still walk 2,000 amos. He does not need to be aware of the fact that he's within the confines of the city. So asks the Gemara, Amar Li Rabbi Zera Li Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, Beferish Mi Alecha O Michlala Shmi Alecha. The Gemara wanted to know, was this an explicit teaching that you heard? Like you heard some rabbi say, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri? Or perhaps was this something that you inferred from an incident, from a story, from some other psak? So Amar Lay, Beferish Shmiel, he said, I heard the statement explicitly. I heard the rabbi say, we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri. So the Gemara says, my klala, what would this, inference, what would this generalization have been had the statement of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri derived from some other story? To Amar Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi, Halacha Kedivri HaMeiko Be'eruv. Comes Rabbi Yoshua Ben Levi and says that we always rely on the Meiko Shita whenever you have a machlokes in the realm of Hilchos Eruvin. So the Gemara says, but hang on one second. Visarte Lamali. Why would the Gemara have to make two separate statements? One statement says, we're always Meiko in the realm of Eruvin, right? Because Eruvin itself is only Midrabbanah, so that makes sense. But then on the other hand, our Gemara just told us three lines ago that, by the way, we pass in like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri. Of course we pass in like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri. He's the Meiko Shita. And you just told me that we always follow Meiko Shitas and Hilchos Eruvin, right? So why would the Gemara have to say basically the same thing twice? So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Zera Tzrich, and we need both statements. Why? Had the Gemara only told us that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri without telling us that in general we're always Meiko when it comes to Eruvin, Hava Amina, I would have said, Bein Lekula Uvein Lechumra, Kamash Malan, Halacha Kedivri HaMeiko Be'eruv. I might have argued that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri as a Chumra as well, if you could construct a scenario where Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri would end up being a Chumra. Let's say, for example, I had a Kli which was Hefker, right? And you held Chavtze Hefker, Konin Shvisa, that would actually be a Chumra according to Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri because you'd be limited in terms of how far you could carry the item. So I might have said, let's paskin like Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri across the board, whether it's a Kula or a Chumra. The Gemara says, no, it's not true, that we always follow the Meiko Shita when it comes to Hilchos Erevin. So the Gemara says, okay, V'leima halacha k'divrei ha-Meiko be'erev. Halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri lamali. So then just cut out the first statement. In other words, why bother writing halacha k'Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri? Just say halacha k'divrei hamikel be'eruv. Just say we're always mikel be'eruvin. If you say that, we'll figure out on our own that we passing like Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri. So the Gemara says no. Itchrich salka daita chamina hani mila yachid bimkom yachid ve'rabim bimkom rabim avol yachid bimkom rabim imalo. The Gemara says I might have thought that that notion that I'm always mikel by hilchos eruvin is assuming that we're on somewhat even footing. In other words, that the two people who are arguing are either two individuals or it's two. Either Yachid versus Yachid or Rabim versus Rabim. But I might have said that if it's a Yachid bimkom Rabim, this is Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri who's a Yachid versus the Chachamim who are the Rabim. You know, typically we have a rule that Yachid v'Rabim halacha k'Rabim. So that's what I would have said. The Gemara says no. You see a chiddush from here that even when it's one against many, even when it's Rabbi Yochanan ben Uri against the Chachamim, but in the realm of Hilchos Eruvin it doesn't matter. Even for a Yachid bimkom Rabim, we're going to be makel. So the Gemara says Amar le Rav li Abaye. Eruvin de Rabbanan, Mali Yachid bimkom Yachid, Umali Yachid bimkom Rabim. So Rava turns to Abaye and says, again, the concept of Eruvin is only a din de Rabbanan, so why do we care if it's one against one, if it's one against the Chachamim? In other words, at the end of the day, we have a principle that Suffik de Rabbanan Lekulas, yeah, if you have a machlokas about something, we should be Mako, right? We should have the right to be Mako, regardless if it's one against one or one against 50, right? In other words, Lechora, we should be Mako no matter what. So Amar Le Rav Papa Le Rava Uvid de Rabbanan Loshani Lan Ben Yachid bimkom Yachid, the Yachid bimkom Rabim. So Rav Papa turns back to Rav and says, is that really a fair distinction to say that in the realm of Dinei Derabanan, we're not going to distinguish between one against one versus one against many? The Hasnan, we have a Mishnah Meseches Nida, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kol Isha She'avru Aleha Shalosh Onos Daya Shaita, V'sanya Maisa V'asa Rabbi K'Rabbi Elazar, La'achar Sheniskar Omer, Kedaihu Rabbi Elazar L'smoch Ala B'Sha'asar Chach. The context of this Mishnah in Meseches Nida is as follows. That the Mishnah has a very detailed machlokas regarding a woman who, let's say, has stopped bleeding for three cycles. In other words, this woman was supposed to bleed, let's say as an example, on the fifth of the month, every month, and then for the last 3 months, she hasn't bled at all. So now the question is, let's say after the third month is over, she starts seeing blood again. And the question is, at what point do we have to assume she becomes Tameh? This is the whole story in the beginning of Maseches Nida. Do we say what's called Daya Shaita, which means that we can just assume that she starts bleeding from right now? We don't, in other words, if a woman hasn't bled in the last 3 months, last three cycles, and now all of a sudden she starts bleeding in the fourth month, so according to one sheet in the Gemara, you can just say this is the first time that she bled. We don't have to assume that she started bleeding 24 hours ago. We don't have to assume that any truma or kachim she handled on the last day is tameh. We could just say, no, this is the first time she's bleeding. However, that's only true according to Rabbi Elazar. The Chachamim mitigate that halacha. The Chachamim say that notion that I can assume that if a woman hasn't bled in her last three cycles, that we can say that this is the first time she's bleeding. We don't have to assume she bled beforehand. That's only true for women who are very likely to stop bleeding, such as a woman who either reached menopause or a woman who's pregnant, where it's highly unlikely that they're going to bleed bechlal. But if it's a regular woman who's supposed to be bleeding, but for some reason she just stopped bleeding for the last three cycles, the Chachamim are going to be machmir and say that no, that we have to assume that she was Temeah for the last 24 hours, and any truma or kachim that she handled is going to become problematic. It's going to become Tameh. So the Gemara now says that Rebbe one time paskin like Rabbi Elazar, he was makel to rely on Rabbi Elazar Shita, and the Gemara says, after he remembered, after he realized what he did, he made the following declaration, Kedaihu Rabbi Elazar l'smoch alav that Rabbi Elazar is good enough to rely on when you're in a Shas Archak, when you're in a pressing situation. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? My la'achar sheniskar. What does it mean that after he realized, after he remembered? Ilei ma'la'achar sheniskar de'ein halacha k'Rabbi Elazar ela k'Rabbanan b'Shas Archak heichi avid k'vasei. If the Gemara meant that after Rebbe realized that we don't paskin like Rabbi Elazar, he said, oh, we can rely on him in Shas Archak. That makes no sense. If we don't paskin like him, then why on earth could you ever rely on Rabbi Elazar Shita? So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela de lo it mar hilchasa lo k'Rabbi Elazar v'lo Rabbanan, La'achar sheniskar delav yachin polagalei ala rabin pligi alei, Amar kedaihu Rabbi Elazar l'smocha la b'shas adchak. So comes the Gemara and says that the thing that he remembered, the thing that Rabbi remembered was that there was never a definitive psak given about this issue. There was never an official psak that said we pask in one way or another. Now, most people would be inclined to assume that we follow the Chachamim simply because yachid v'rabim halacha k'rabim. So Rabbi said that even though generally speaking that's true, but because it's a shas adchak, so okay, we can rely on Rabbi Elazar. In other words, had there been a definitive psak that said we paskin like the Chachamim, then this would not have been an option. There's no relying on Rabbi Elazar b'shas hachak. But the second that the Gemara says that there was no definitive psak, but it's just that in general we should rely on the Chachamim, but if there was no formalized psak, so b'shas hachak you can rely on the shita of Rabbi Elazar. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Mishar Shia l'Rav of Amri l'Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak l'Rav uvederabanan l'shani ben yachid bimkom yachid ben yachid bimkom rabim. Is it really true? Again, the Gemara questions this premise again. Do we not distinguish between one against one versus one against many when it comes to dine derabanan? V'hasani, we have a brisa that appears in Maseches Moed Katan. Shmua krova noheg shiva u'shloshim rechoka in noheg esela yom echad ve'ezo hi krova ve'ezo hi rechoka v'so shloshim krova la'achar shloshim rechoka divrei Rabbi Akiva v'chachamim omrim acha shmua krova v'acha shmua rechoka noheges shiva u'shloshim. The Gemara presents a machlokes in the realm of Hilchos Avelos. The Gemara says that again, this is obviously not such a relevant shalom as Manazah, but back in the days of the Gemara, it was very common that a person would only find out that a relative had died more than a month after the death. So according to Rabbi Akiva, it makes a difference when you find out the person died. If you found out that they died within 30 days of their death, then you just observe regular Avelos. So you just do regular Shiva, regular Shloshim. But let's say you found out about it more than a month after they already died. So according to Rabbi Akiva, that's what we call a Shmua Rechoka. And according to Rabbi Akiva, for a Shmua Rechoka, you only observe one day of Shiva. So you basically just sit Shiva for an hour, and that's it. And then you get up, and Shiva is over. The Chachamim disagree. The Chachamim say, no, it makes no difference if it's within a month, if it's after a month. You just observe regular Avelos regardless. The Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan Kol Makom Sha'ata Motze Yachin Meikav Rabbi Machmirin Halacha Kedivrei Hamachmirin Hamarubim Chutz Mizo Sha'afal Pisha Rabbi Akiva Meikav Achachamim Machmirin Halacha Kedivrei Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara says that even though generally speaking we have a principle of Yachin V'Rabim Halacha K'Rabim, this is the exception to the rule, because when it comes to this area of Halacha, we follow Rabbi Akiva. If a person finds out about a relative who died more than a month after the death, they only observe one day of Shiva. So the Gemara says V'Savar La Kishmuel De Amar Shmuel Halacha. This reflects the general shita of Shmuel. Shmuel famously tells us in Maseches Moed Katan that we always rely on the Mekel shita in the realm of Avelos, much like we spoke about before with Hilchos Eruvin. So the Gemara makes the following inference: Ba'Avelos hu da'akilu barabanan, aval ba'alma afilu b'derabanan shani bin yachid b'mkom yachid bin yachid b'mkom rabim. The Gemara suggests that this quirk, this exception, is a unique halacha specifically by Hilchos Avelos. In the realm of Avelos, we say that we're always Mekel, but the implication is that by other dine derabanan, we do in fact distinguish. You know, in other words, it does make a difference if it's one against one or one against the rabbim. In other words, it sounds like for regular dine derabanan that are not avelus or not irvin, it sounds like we should actually rely on the shitas harabim and not the shitas hayach. Okay, now the Gemara says, "V'ra papa amar itchrich salka daita chamina hanimili be'iruve chatzeros avo be'iruve tchumen emalo tzricha." The Gemara is now going back to the issue we mentioned earlier, which is why we need to make two statements: one, that we paskin like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that if the guy fell asleep but he wasn't aware where he was, it doesn't matter, he could still walk 2,000 amos. And the other statement that we're always mako by Erevin, isn't that saying the same thing? So Rapapa gives a different answer, that one might have argued that this kula that we can rely on is only going to, in other words, the notion that we're always making Hilchos Erevin, I might have thought, is only true for Erev Chatzeros. Why? Because Erev Chatzeros is completely Dirabanan, whereas the notion of Erev Tchumen is rooted in Dine Doraisa. The concept of Tchum does appear in the Torah to a certain degree, so one might have thought that Erev Tchumen, we have to be Machmir. So the Gemara says, no, you see that we're making even by Erev Tchumen. Then the Gemara says, Umenat Temra, the Shanilan ben Eruve Chatzeros, Eruve Tchumen. What's the basis for this distinction? Disnan, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Bamed Dvarim Amurim Be'eruvei Tchumen, Avo Be'eruvei Chatzeros, Ma'arvin Bein Ladasu Vein Shelo Ladas, Shezachin La'adam Shelo Befana, Vein Chavin La'adam Ela Befana. The Gemara distinguishes and says that establishing an Eruv Chatzeros for a person can be done even without their knowledge, because an Eruv Chatzeros is always going to be beneficial for someone. Whereas, when it comes to an Eruv Tchumen is not necessarily beneficial, because it's going to restrict your movement to allowing you to walk 2,000 amos in one direction, but it's going to prevent you from walking in the other direction. So, if you wanted to go in the other direction, now you're stuck. So you can't do that. So in other words, I can't set up an Erev Tchumen without your knowledge, because that could be detrimental for you. Whereas an Erev Chatzeros, I can do that, because an Erev Chatzeros is always in your is always going to be in your best interest. Then the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar Itchrich, Salkadeta Chamina Hanimile Beshiure Erev, Aval Beschilas Erevim Alo. Then Rav Ashi gives a different distinction, which is that maybe there's a difference between a person who's setting up an Erev for the first time, in other words, an Erev Tchumen, versus a person who, let's say, set the Erev Tchumen up 2 weeks ago and wants to continue using a pre existing Eir of Tumim. So again, why should there be a distinction there? Menatamer the Shanilan Bain Shiyure Eir of Leschilas Eir of the Snan Amrab Yosi Bamed Dvar Mamurim Beschilas Eir of Avol Beshiyure Eir of Afilu Kol Shehu Velo Amru La'ari Chatziros Ela Kadesh Lo Shakech Toras Eir of Menatinokos. The Gemara says this notion again. Remember, we spoke a lot about this in the previous parak about, you know, like for example, the amount of food that you need in order to have a valid Eir of Tumim. That whole discussion is only in terms of establishing an Eir of Tumim from the outset, but in terms of taking a pre-existing Eir of Tumim and saying I want to continue using this for future Shabbosos, you don't need to meet all the standards and all the criteria that we mentioned earlier in terms of the quantities of food for an Eir of Tumim. And the Gemara just ends off by pointing out that this notion of an Eir of Chatzeros, the reason why we're makbid about the Eir of Chatzeros is just so that people, you know, the children, shouldn't forget the concept of setting up an Eir of Chatzeros in the first place.